like really cool.
This is actually like really cool.
When you see, like, you could just see people like
walking past.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, this is dope. Hello. Yeah. I think so.
Check Ooh. 1, 2. Check mic.
Okay, I can hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay. Hi. Okay. So welcome. Welcome.
Back.
Huh? Okay, kid. You are listening to us. This is my first episode back to my podcast, actually. I don't know if I told you that.
Yeah.
This is my first episode back from a little hiatus that I had. And I just felt like the vibes are right.
Yeah.
So
it's been a good day.
It's been a very good day. We just came back from, what was it called?
Photograph. I always have to... Fotografica?
Yeah.
Something like that? Museum?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because today's World Photography Day, if you didn't know.
Yeah.
And they had an exhibition showcasing, I think, 4 different artists.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It had...
Like, oh,
let's
go ahead.
Oh, it had this guy, Terry O'Neill.
Mm-hmm.
Who did a lot of celebrity portraits. Mm-hmm. And then David... Usuo... Uchuku?
Uchuku? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's really, really great. Amazing work.
Mm-hmm.
20 out of 10 exhibit. Yeah.
Just how he uses like lights and colors in the background.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's Tita's portraiture, I think it's called. Portraits.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What was your favorite part of the exhibit?
Ooh, I would have to say... I really love David's Zone.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a second person. I think I have 3. David's Zone, the guy who did like the fireworks.
Yeah.
And oh shoot, I forgot the last one.
We took so many pictures.
We did.
Though.
We really did. Oh damn, I forgot the third one. Maybe it's the first one I liked. The one with stars.
Yeah.
That one was really good. That one was really, really good.
The ambiance was cool. Like
mm-hmm. And like how he was like able to see all those stars like throughout his like, what do you call it, lifetime?
Yeah.
That was cool. What was your favorite part?
Mm.
I can smell the pee now and woo,
it's pungent.
It's pungent. I'm like, damn. Are we sitting down by the pee? Or like, is it the wind? Like, god damn.
It might be the wind.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Straight up. Like, it hits every once in a while.
Yes, it does.
I think my favorite part was just like, they're curating, you know. Like, every exhibit was really beautiful, and I really liked that they changed the, like for example, the first floor was like rock and roll, mm-hmm. like old timey music and stuff like that, because it was meant to be all
Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, mm-hmm. meant to be all Hollywood, and then in the second floor was like. Quiet, you know, because it was like about fires and like
yes.
ecological disasters, mm-hmm. but also like a very intimate look into like what people's experiences are like. So it's much more like in remembrance of them and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciated that.
Same.
Yeah.
Same. There's actually no topic. So
yeah.
I know one thing that we did talk about before we started recording was like going through hard times.
Mm-hmm.
And choosing how you react.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about that right now because I don't know why I'm thinking about that right now.
I mean, go off, you know. We were talking about it and I was like, oh, this sounds like a podcast.
It does. Like,
we were, for context, viewer, we were going into, like, conversations about friends and...
Oh, yes, that's why.
And, like, relationships. With our immediate families and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like it's really cool to see how people react to it's really cool to see how people end up reacting to like their own families and their own kids like moving on from that. Yeah. Like we move on from being the kids sometimes,
mm-hmm.
like for the people that do choose to have children, to being like the parents or really role models,
mm-hmm.
you know. Like, I think whether or not you have kids, like, you still turn out to be like an adult in society and almost like someone.
Yeah, like the kid, like having a kid is not the marker for like being an adult.
Yeah.
Like time is that marker for being an adult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think kids are cool in the sense of they like help you almost with timelines, even like you don't know how long time has passed until like
you watch your kid and like goddamn,
yeah,
you got that thing. Yeah,
like yeah. I was a teacher for a little bit, yeah, and yeah, I taught first and second grade. Mm-hmm. I was really a teacher's aide, but you know, took a lot of the responsibilities of teaching. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was really cool because now when I think back at it, like they're probably about to go into 5th grade.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, like I want to say my first graders are moving into 5th grade. And like,
wow.
It feels so crazy because in the past I'd be like, oh, that was 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And like 4 years is, you know, it's a lot of time.
It is.
But at the same time, it's like.
And it's hard to sometimes see those 4 years. Because we're so stuck in, like, that cycle of, okay, let's just get through tomorrow. Let's just do tomorrow. Let's just, you know, that's, like, our constant goal. Let's just get through today.
Yeah.
And when you really step back, you're like, wow, that's 4 years. That's 365 days multiplied by four.
Yeah.
You know, like, and yeah. It's wild how many things can happen in those 4 years.
And they don't joke when they say, like, oh, you grow up so fast. Because, like, bro, they went from 6 to 10.
In a blink of an eye.
Exactly.
You know? That's like that saying when they say, the days are long, but the years are short.
Yeah.
I think that's
days
what it is.
Are long, years are short.
Yeah.
Wow. I need to start writing down, like, your wits. Because when we were at the museum and you saw the black and white pictures, you said the color photographs were, like, cool. They, like, capture life, mm-hmm. but the black and white ones capture like the soul, mm-hmm. of the person, because you don't have those distractions. Yeah. And like,
yeah, that's why I love black and white photography. I just got into film.
Yeah.
I think I want to say like a month and a half ago, and I have just been buying black and white film. Mm. And there's something about seeing someone in that instance.
Yeah.
Like just seeing them, like you can't, and sometimes you can't even tell where it is, you know, because
yeah.
your background can be so obscure. You can see the leaves, of course, you can see like a body of water, but you can't tell what it is, so
yeah.
you're forced to focus on the person itself.
Yeah.
And I think that's why like black and white always gets me.
I love film photography, like mm-hmm. there's just something so it's just so cool to see like remnants of like old technology.
Mm.
After post everything, like to see
mm-hmm.
what made it out,
yeah,
what made it through, and film being one of those persistent, like
very persistent,
yeah,
very persistent,
just loved things.
And I think that's like what captured me in first exhibition too,
because
you know, I mean, photography was definitely around, but I want to say it was more film photography because I think it was like 1950s,
mm-hmm.
maybe around that time. His body of work was centered around until like the 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And just to see like one, the evolution of photography and what it has become now,
yeah.
but also like photography being used back then and people like their initial reaction to photography.
Yeah.
You know?
It's crazy how many people he photographed. There was like,
I know, right?
Robin Williams, Keanu Reeves,
mm-hmm.
David Bowie. There
was Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
Haley.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Frank
Sinatra. The
Twiggy
guys
was in
Twiggy
there.
Audrey Hepburn,
Diana Ross, yeah.
Tina Turner,
yeah.
Amy Winehouse. It's like, wow, he's been through, like he's seen it. Like
again, my sense of time is so like skewed because
mm-hmm.
for some reason those people feel like they were like in different lifetimes.
Yes.
But they were
like
still in that guy's like
mm-hmm.
span of.
Like I remember even seeing what's her name. Amy Winehouse.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when the news broke that she died, but like, I think that's why I love photography too.
Yeah.
You get to capture that person in
yeah.
that time.
In their,
you know,
greatness.
That's like a time capsule.
Yeah.
You know, their life still lives on, even
yeah.
after death.
Yeah. I did some modeling in 2020.
Ooh.
It was like, my hope was that, because I was 24 at the time. Uh-huh. And I was like, boom, I'm 24.
Come on,
like, I'm gonna, I want to remember this. I want to be like old and like looking back at myself and be like, okay, mother, like, you that's ate that. Me. Yeah.
Like, I left no crumbs behind.
Exactly. So that was like the initial idea for it. And then it just grew and grew. Like, I met someone on Bumble Friends. Mm-hmm. And from there, I got connected to some film photographers in Houston. And the film and photography, like, collective is fairly, like, tight-knit in Houston. So it was really cool to, like after you kind of break into it, like...
How many people, like, you get connected with.
Yeah.
The experiences you get to have, yeah.
Like, the community is... Like, the community being small was kind of nice in that way at the time. Because it was, like... Yeah, it was growing. Mm. And more people were, like, tapping into their creative flow. But that was, like, you know, how a lot of us ended up coping in that isolation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. Tapping into your creative flow.
Yeah.
What does that mean to you?
Oh, man. They were like... God. It means, like... You know, sometimes, like, we were talking earlier about anxiety and, like, where you can feel it in your body and how it could be, like, signals to what your body needs from you and things like that. I feel like creativity and love and joy and all the good parts are, like, the mirror, like, that mirrored side, you know? So tapping into it would be, like, be more in tune with maybe your soul in that way. I feel like fear is very bodily.
It is.
Like, fueled, and maybe like love and creativity and joy feels much more meta, you know. So it's almost like tapping into your soul, like what makes you you. Yeah.
I love that.
How about you? What does what does creative flow look like?
I would say it's like the thing that makes your heart smile. You know, it's like the thing that your heart longs for, and like you know it, your heart know it, your body knows it, like there's no doubt about it. And once you tap into that, that can be like either you making a song, you having a podcast, anything that makes your heart smile. Once you tap into that, I think that's creative flow. I feel like that's where everything for you comes easy. Or I should say everything is at ease, because something can be at ease and not be easy, you know?
Oof.
Yeah.
Stop.
So I feel like that's like what tapping into that creative flow is. Yeah. It's like tapping into that ease of life, that part where you don't really have to think. Have you seen that movie Soul?
I was looking at that. Yes. And they go in the zone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like nothing mattered in that point. Like,
yeah.
It was like you're here, but you're not here.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's what it is for me.
Yeah. Like tapping into the higher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like this right now, this feels like tapping into that.
Yeah.
You know, like tapping into that. And it's so funny too, because I've been scared to tap into this part. You know, because, you know, scared of people, how they might perceive me. Scared of like, am I fit to do this thing? But if my heart is saying it, like, how could I tell myself no?
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
And, like, I think I get afraid, too, like, of maybe just expressing in general, whether that be, like, frustration or, like, happiness. I just, like, get nervous expressing, like, what my heart is, like, asking of me, you know? It is so cathartic. For the most part, once you like do get to let it go and let it out, like my friend and I were looking at different abstract art as well, and like in the past, I think I used to be critical of abstract art and being like, like you're about to pay $1 million for like a red line or whatever, but like it's like the act of doing it, you know, that's so. Almost like riveting about it, you know, like it's the act of like throwing things at a canvas or being like, I don't care right now, I just need to let this out of my body, like let it be commemorated somehow and just outside of me. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it could be really beautiful. And
mm-hmm. And then it, like, allows people. I used to have that exact same thought. I was like paying this amount of money for like a line, but like, but like when you think about it too, abstract art. Mm-hmm. I feel like it allows you to not only see like what that person is thinking, but it also allows you to like see yourself too.
Yeah.
In the paintings. There's this guy who I recently started to follow. His name is D Rams on Instagram or Twitter. Nope. TikTok. Mm. And he does abstract art. And every time I like see it, he may have like a description, but then I might get something different out of it. But also seeing what he's saying, of course. But like I would like, I don't know, so we'd interpret it in a different way.
It's like those psychology things, like those paintings.
Yes, but like which one do you see? The woman on like the vase.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or like the two faces facing each other.
Yeah.
Or like a
the thing in the
mm-hmm. Oh my god, yeah.
And isn't that just what life is? Like that's what life is. Like you can see something. Mm-hmm. And I think they call this symbolic interactionism in sociology, mm-hmm. where like you can have something, a symbol, but you can view it something differently than I view it.
Yeah.
Like a crescent moon, for example. Mm-hmm. Like in Islam, that has a specific thing, and it means something for them. But for me, it can just be like a crescent moon.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like we interact with things differently, even though they might have a definite definition.
It's like, and it's reflected in many places too. Mm-hmm. Like two people can be raised by the same people and in the same house and turn out
completely different. Mm-hmm.
Even they can be twins even, like and still be seen like different relationships with their parents or different relationships with like the world around them.
Yeah.
Community's so cool in that way though.
It is.
I remember when I first got to New York, like, I felt too gentle. I felt too, like, soft. I was like, I want to be harder.
Mm, like, you have to, like, toughen up. This is New York, baby.
Exactly. Like, get with it or get lost.
Uh-huh.
But I feel like I had to be more of a fighter. Mm. And I used to have, like, this fire inside of me. I used to be really angry. And then worked through it. Did a lot of, like, I guess what they call nowadays shadow work. Mm-hmm. losers. but yeah, now I feel like I kind of like mellowed it out to the point where I started trying to like engage with my anger again and trying to see like what makes me feel passionate, what like frustrates me about like the world around me and things like that. And my friend, she told me like, it really impacted, like, it was one of those things that, like, changed my brain chemistry. She was like, well, what if you let other people, like, be tough, you know? Mm. Like, the people that care about you that already have that innate quality about them to be, like, more, like, warriors and stuff. Like, we also need you to be the gentle presence that you are because sometimes you need that softness in life, too.
Yes.
You know? Mm-hmm. And it just, like, it made me think about, like, the world around me and how, like, everybody has something to contribute, even if it's different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, like, we feel the need, once we get into a certain environment, to be like, no, I'm not going to be this way. I'm going to, you know, not be my true self to be what I need to be in this.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Adapting is cool.
It is.
Evolving happens.
Mm-hmm. But, like, are you going to lose yourself while you're doing that?
Yeah.
You know?
Is it like a Pokemon evolution or
or like Luffy or Asta?
Yeah.
You know, like, even though there's like different, I always think about this too. It's like there's a one of my favorite cartoons is Ben 10. And I love Ben 10. And
like it's more of it.
I think about it all the time when I think about identity too, because it's like there's a core to who Ben is, and that's his human form. That's who he is through and through.
Yeah.
But then he has, like, these different monsters that he can turn into dependent on, like, the environment that he's in.
And I think situation calls for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he'd be like, oh, I need to be, like, this lava person because I'm dealing with lava. Let me just switch to that lava person. And I think about myself in that instant because I used to struggle a lot with, and I still do. I'm not perfect.
you know, identity and like who I identify as.
Yeah.
And if I should be one way more than the other.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like all those parts of me are valid.
Yeah.
You know? And all those parts of me are needed wherever it may be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think I'm now like realizing, because I was trying to be at the time, I think when she was telling me that, all like love and light and
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up kind of like gaslighting myself and in turn the people around me out of their anger and frustration.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of took away from that like expression of like, because we were talking about Inside Out earlier.
Yeah.
How like you can't really like ask anger to be anything but anger, you
mm-hmm.
know, like yes, things can be alchemized and like changed and stuff, but you know, I think it's also very valid to exist within that frustration and
mm-hmm.
not take it away, just like feel it,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I feel like that's where I'm at still to this day, like with the adaptability and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the past, I felt very, almost way too adaptable to be more people pleasy,
mm-hmm.
for example,
mm-hmm.
more like keep the peace.
Yeah.
Not so much like if things actually bothered me,
like seeing it.
Yeah.
I was just gonna ask you that. I was gonna ask like, how did that feel when things may have like come up, but you were so like not focused, but like
yeah,
in that. Love, you said love and light,
mm-hmm.
part of yourself. Like, how did I feel when what you were going through was like bringing something else out of me, but you were like, no, I have to be love and light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It felt like I was repressing,
and
in my gut, it hurt. It hurt so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that at the time, like, the relationships that I had also encouraged for me not to speak up and not to use my voice, like,
mm-hmm.
it would be like, no, you're looking at it all wrong. Like, whenever I would have frustrations and it'd be like, this is what makes me mad, they'd be like, oh, no, you can't look at your life like that. Da, 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 da. Like, let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And I would try to force it. Like, I'd try to be like, no, I have to see all the things that are positive in my life. But I felt it in my, like, stomach that I was pushing it down, you know, to the point where it was like, it felt like I was cementing like it, and then later on like trying to figure out, oh my god, I'm sorry. No, little bit.
So cute.
Oh my gosh. Hi Georgie. He's so cute. Thank you so much.
Oh my gosh, you're,
you're seeing all the dogs that you wanted to see, right?
I was saying, yeah,
that's the
dog, that's
mm-hmm.
the one from my dreams right there. Yeah. I've been dreaming with a lot of fluffy pups.
Oh.
Yeah. But yeah, I also felt encouraged, like, oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I think a mosquito bit me or something.
Haters.
Yeah.
But yeah, all in all, it just felt hurtful to me. And then later on, I had to, like, unpack that after, like, pushing it down.
For so long.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's wild. I mean, not wild, because, I mean,
it made the moments of release as well, like, a lot bigger than maybe they needed to be.
It was like a clogged drain,
mm-hmm.
ready to, like, just be set free.
Exactly.
Just set me free. The flow.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back to that.
Yeah.
Like, you allowing the flow of yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had, like, a wake-up call this one night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was burning myself out going out with friends constantly. And this one night, I, like, pushed myself to let go of the negative feelings. Like, I was really sad about a lot of different things. Like, my apartment situation wasn't working out. My job wasn't secure. Like, all these different things, like, were just not working out. So, the night that I went out with friends, I thought it would make me feel better. But I knew going into it that I wasn't feeling my best. And I didn't communicate that with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up being a hard night for everyone. Like, it wasn't, I didn't really drink or was under the influence or anything, but I just cried and went completely, like, nonverbal, and when I would try to talk about it, they were asking me, like, what's going on with you? I just felt like I was frozen in time, just tears flowing. Like, now that I think about it, I did smoke a little bit earlier that night, which might have induced all of it, all that release. But, yeah, it was just hard for my friends to see me like that because they never saw me like that. But something, it was, like, something small. I don't remember. Okay. So for more context.
Damn, this ledge, my ass.
I know, I'm like.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Oh, I felt that. Oh, yeah, that little adjustment, that felt nice.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
No, you're good. I had to.
Get like, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah.
I love your tattoos. Oh, she can't hear me.
Nah. She's walked by a few times.
Yes.
Like, legend.
Legend. Yes, sorry.
No, please, no apologies.
My mind.
The world around us is, like, still moving. Nah, so pretty much, like, all that to say, something small kind of, like, ended up cracking the whole dam, and I was just crying and crying and crying and crying and crying. And it just went on for a while. I was like, sheesh. Like, it felt good to let it all out. That was a wake-up call, though, in the sense that, like, okay, I understand, like, repression is not the answer.
It's not.
Yeah.
Because as you, like, just said, it, like, it does you a disservice, and it's, like, it does everybody else around you a disservice.
Exactly.
Especially when you know, like, I mean, it's life. But, like, especially when you know that what you want, or you know who you are, and that's not matching up with, like, what's happening.
Yeah.
It causes, I don't know how to describe it, but I know the pain that you felt. It just feels like almost tension, because you want to do it, but you can't do it.
Yeah.
No matter how much you try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, at the time, body, soul, everything was just calling for tears. Even though I was trying to explain it and, like, put it into words for, like, the people that care about me to understand. I did, like, they, like, my friend that was there for, like, the thick of it, she did sit me down and was like, look, I have to be very real with you. That was scary. And, you know, if you know you're not feeling you're 100%, you can communicate that.
And it's scary, too.
Yeah.
It's very scary to admit that.
Yeah.
You know?
But I didn't realize that it really did affect the people around me. So I did appreciate her for kind of grounding me in that way. It's like, in those moments, when, at least when I spiral, I feel like this is happening to me, you know, like, not to the people around me. And her kind of telling me, like, well, we're witnessing this, it also affects.
It hurts us too.
Yeah. It made me feel less alone. And not, it wasn't so much like, you shouldn't have done that, or in a shameful way, or anything. It felt more like a, like, you should know you're not alone. And, like, even when it feels impossible to see it, like, we're going through this hard moment with you. So, like, you have a choice. We can block it out and, like, isolate and take space, or we can, like, you know,
do this together.
Yeah. Exactly.
So that's really nice that they sat down, well, not that they can sit with you in that, like, moment.
Yeah.
You know, because I feel, I don't want to put this into words. Oh, I guess this is how I've been feeling. Oh, my camera shut off. That's really funny. Well. It is what it is. At least we have the audio.
You could put little memes in the background.
True.
Like pictures.
Little pictures.
Yeah.
Damn, I forgot what I was saying. That's wild. My mind just went to that and I forgot.
Yeah, it's like a hard a hard thing. Like, I even feel a little tension in my chest thinking about it, because even when she was telling me, it was a hard pill, but I had to swallow it, you know. Like, I did put people I care about in a position, but I really do appreciate knowing that I'm part of a community enough to affect it, you know, and, like, be, like, in tune with how I impact the people around me.
Oh, that's that. I like how you said that.
Yeah.
Mm, to know that you're in a community and that you do in like impact it or affect it. Because I feel like you can be in a community, but you never know if people are going to sense when you're off. Like, you never know if people are going to be so in tune into who you are. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So knowing that, knowing that is like, I kind of...
Yeah, like, you have people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It motivates mm-hmm. to, like, maybe not so much get into this, like, hustle of, like, get your shit together, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, there's people counting on you. But more, like, less pressure to, like, less pressure, more motivation, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So in the past, like, when I would have moments in, like, depressive episodes and stuff, I felt pressure to, like, you have to get up. You have to brush your teeth. You have to shower. Like, if not, all these things are going to happen. It came more from a place of shame rather than, like, love.
Love, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And I wonder how many things that we let happen or let... I guess go because of shame. You know, it's so funny because I don't know what I read recently. There was something that I read and it was like, lead with love and not lead with, it was a show, it was a kid's show actually. So I'm with my niece right now.
Yeah.
I've been watching like a lot of kid's shows with her. Yeah. I mean, I watch it by myself, but you know, it was one that she picked out and she was like, something about like lead with love. Yeah. And it sounds so cliche at some point, but it's so true.
Yeah,
like you really do have to leave it love, because if you leave it fear, if you leave it shame, that like to me sounds like you should be doing something, or that's the rhetoric you're gonna be telling yourself.
Yeah,
because you're gonna down yourself and shame yourself if you leave it that.
Yeah, it's not very sustainable ground to stand on.
Mm-hmm. It will crack.
But you know, like with the pictures, for example, that we were talking about earlier from 2020. At the time, I was so afraid to put them out there, even though they're so beautiful. Like, the work and the artistry and the styling and the photographer, like, all that coming together was just so incredible. But being the subject, I was so scared and, like, just ashamed of myself. Like, what if the people that knew me saw it or...
That is always a thought.
Yeah.
And it's so sad that that's the thing that will keep us from doing what we love.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, fair perception by our loved ones.
Yeah.
When, if you really think about it, if, I don't know if it's, like, very presumptuous of me to say, but if you're surrounded by true and genuine love, the people surrounding you, it may be a little cringe, but they're definitely going to support you.
Yeah.
You know, they're definitely going to be like, oh, no, you should do that, you know? But it's sad to see that, you know, we might think of it in a different way.
Yeah. I think the process is hard to, vulnerable.
Very.
Like, to put out there, especially if you're, like, still in the development stages of things. Like, I shaved my head for a little bit. And as my hair grew out, the different stages were, some of them were awkward and some of them didn't fit my face shape. And oh my God, I tried so many different things to like hats or like dyeing my hair or different haircuts. And I was like, at one point I did a mullet and I was like, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't my best, wasn't my best moment. And like, I was surrounded by people that were like, period, it's chic. You're doing it, like, work.
And they love you through the process.
Yeah.
They love you through the process.
But it's so uncomfortable.
Very.
Like, it's like cracking a shell and being like, this doesn't feel right.
Oh my gosh, this reminds me of, so I went to an exhibition yesterday. The lady, the artist, oh my God, her name is... Miss Pattinson. I can't remember, like, her first name. But she has this exhibition going on right now in the Botanical Gardens in the Bronx. And it's around, I can't remember the actual name of her installation, but one of the things that she is trying to, like, portray within her exhibition is, like, the idea of us as individuals running away from the ugly in life. and how you can be presented with something that looks so pretty, but then when you get closer to it, you start seeing the ugly in it.
Yeah.
And she really emphasized that ugliness. Oof. Yeah. It was...
Just makes you wanna like shrivel up.
Yes. Especially this one piece that she has where it's like a wall. Yeah. So one half is like glitz and glamour. It looks so nice. It's filled with like lace, gold lace, and different types of fabrics, and it just looks so it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you turn the corner on the opposite side of it,
mm-hmm.
it's like these molded like hands. She took gloves and she did like paper mache,
mm-hmm.
and it's red, and it just feels like doom. It feels like death. It feels like darkness, you know, but in her installation she shows you like you can't have one without having the other. You can't have the pretty without having the ugly. You can't have the ugly without having the pretty. But it's so funny how a lot of the times we run away from the ugliness and we only expect ourselves to be pretty or to be good, and we think, oh, I can't be bad, like I have to be good all the time. I'm definitely that type of person where I always think, oh
my goodness,
where I think like I have to be good all the time, and if I'm not, then I'm inherently a bad person. But it's like, no, I'm multifaceted. How could I ignore the parts of me that are bad, you know? And that makes me think about like what you said about anger. Like, how could you run away from anger?
Yeah,
it's there.
Yeah,
you either like go through it or you run away from it.
Yeah,
or you try to rename it into something else that is not
mm-hmm.
and now you have misplaced feelings.
Yeah,
you know?
And later on, like we were talking about,
exactly demise.
Exactly,
you know,
it's gonna happen.
It's like no doubt. Like,
your feelings are gonna feel
exactly all the time.
Yeah, I feel like it also reflects like okay, something I noticed, and I don't know if this is like a trend in my own life or in the cities that I've lived in, but like when I did live in Houston, I noticed that I was surrounded by a lot of like anxious people. And again, I don't know if this is a trend in my own life based on like how I was going through my healing journey and stuff, but in New York I noticed that there's a lot of like avoidance as well. It's so fast and there's so much to like
to see and to like
so many different kinds of dogs.
I know,
like
right?
Yeah,
like, dogs I've never seen.
Hi. We like your dress,
you look so nice.
But yeah,
oh wow,
I know, so majestic.
Wow, I have never seen a dog like that.
They're like, I think they're called greyhounds.
Wow. It looks very like...
like majesty.
Yes.
Like giving runway.
No, for real.
That one is so like cool. The with the long ears.
Mm.
Work. No, but yeah. I don't know like much about attachment styles.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard a few podcasts. Yeah, people and therapists that like talk about different people's relationships with like anxious or like disorganized attachment or like avoidant attachment.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like what you were describing about like running away from your feelings is, it resonated a lot because I felt like I had to be really, really just correct, like come correct all the time. Like I put myself in a pedestal, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
And it was like, it's okay. like it reflected a lot in my relationships with people, you know, like with my anxious friends and like lovers, I felt like, I don't know, like it didn't feel honest.
Woo.
Yeah.
It felt like, or should I say, does it feel at some points like you want to go a step forward, but you can't because the foundation you've built is like, oh, should I be showing this face? Like, should I be showing this part of myself?
So shaky.
So shaky.
Like, like one thing could just throw off the complete balance. But I think that maybe if one thing, like now in hindsight, like maybe if one thing does throw it off, like maybe it's worth throwing it off, you know? Maybe it's worth shaking it up, and if it's like worth building back up again or letting go for a while. But like just letting it be what it really is, there's like a real beauty in that.
It there is.
I would love to see that exhibit. That sounds really cool.
Oh, it was, oh man, when I tell you, I, to the point where like I went back inside and I journaled. Like it was so thought provoking and I kept on thinking. I remember at the end of my journal session, I put allow, what did I put? I said, allow duality to live freely. Because I feel like I know I have not been doing that, you know?
Duality. Live freely. Write that down.
Because you have to. You have to.
Yeah.
Especially like when I think about life itself as well. You always think life has to be good. You know, like everybody says it, the good life. You know, what is it in Costa Rica? Like pure la vida.
Yeah.
You know, like there's always like the good life, and to me that's always been symbolic of like a life of no obstacles, but that's not the case. You know, I've witnessed firsthand the indentations or like the roller coaster rides that life has to give. But I'm always thinking, no, it has to be high all the time. Like I have to be here,
and I have to do it in the best way. I have to fall in the best way.
I have to follow this rule book that everybody else is following. But it's like, we are really here. Nobody knows the blueprint for life.
Yeah.
You know, like, nobody.
That's the thing. I feel like I had to explain everything, too, like, in that same vibe. Like, when I wasn't at my best, I'd be like, explain yourself right now. Like, why aren't you at your highest? Like, almost in this, like, grind of, like, if you're not at your best, like, it's because you're not doing something right, you know? And not so much, like, I might be grieving or the world around me is just not where it's at right now. Not to like, I'm sure it's like the duality, you know, of it all too. Of like, I know we've been talking about it in the sense of like, you know, there's highs and lows, but there's also like the world outside of us and the world inside of us and how both of them play a part. Like it's not so much like just you or just the world. You know, like that exhibit in the fire section of the pictures, it was like, that was so cool that they did that in that way, because we went, we started in the Hollywood and the glitz and glamour and these cool parts of humanity, you know, and like all these like interesting iconic figures captured in those moments, and then moving on to like the LA wildfires and like
the Cambodia oh man, he did like has a part where it has like a oh my gosh, one artist had
like what was the exhibit?
I can't remember what it's called, but I know it's in Cambodia.
Yeah,
and it was like pictures of what happened in Phnom Penh, and he said he used smoke as a way to show the injustices faced by his like in his grandparents' lifetime, a lot of people who were running from wars or like running from something that has been happening. I didn't even think about it that way. Like how we had the stars, we had
like the India being the world's. I forgot what the exhibit was called, but it was somewhere around the lines of like it being the where a lot of people get burned like physically. And seeing that process of someone rebuilding their body after going through something so traumatizing as like a lamp exploding, and like gas leaks and things like that. That was so impactful.
It
like
was.
To like see that amount of physical trauma and like people moving through that process of healing. And it was like this cathartic, not cathartic, that's the wrong word, but almost like this really beautiful exhibition. Mm-hmm. Or you can see, like, kind of like the exhibition you were describing, like, oh, these are so cool. They're like stars, so many glitz and glamours and accoutrements, mm-hmm. if you will. And then, like, what people go through and, like, in their grief.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because you can't run away from it at all. I've been thinking about that too. Grief. And not grief as in, it can be different forms of grief. Grief of yourself.
Yeah.
Grief of, like, someone close to you. And how the conversations around grief is never upfront or, like, head on.
Yeah.
We, like, dance around it. Yeah.
Have you, if you don't mind me asking, mm-hmm. In your own experiences of grief, like, what makes you feel the most comforted?
Like, ooh. Wow, that's a good question. I don't think I've ever thought about that.
Journaling prompt.
For real, I've never thought about that. I think what wow, this is actually something I learned recently. Well, not learned recently, but I was in conversation with this topic, and I think it was in the same exhibit.
Mm.
In the exhibit they were talking about, like, extinction,
mm-hmm.
And how things are never really extinct. Like, the essence of that thing is always going to be here, whether that's like a tree dying, but there's always going to be seeds on the floor or like remnants of that tree.
Yeah.
And I think that is what I'm trying to reframe grief to be. It's like, it's never created nor destroyed, but it's like energy. It's there.
It's that love.
Yeah.
That never died.
Exactly.
Yeah.
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 How about you?
I think for a long time, what was familiar to me was running away from it.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it served its purpose for a little bit, especially feeling like there's a lot of different pains and traumas and stuff. Like,
mm-hmm.
running away from it had its time, but now I feel it's so painful to be loved through it. That actually looking at it,
mm-hmm.
and having someone hold you in that.
And fully in that too.
It burns in the way that, like, this is gonna sound so, like, so metaphorical, so poetic. But it burns in the way that, like, you know when you have, like, a cut and you put, like, hydrogen peroxide on it?
Yes.
And it, like, it stings a little.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, it does its thing, it cleans it out. But yeah, it feels like that.
Mm.
So I feel comforted by, it's weird, but, like, by that pain of, like, that means I'm finally feeling it, what I've been running away from, you know?
Mm. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
'Cause you have to feel the pain.
Yeah.
It's like you have to feel the pain to, like, know that what happened.
Yeah.
Or that love existed, or, you know, whatever existed.
Yeah. I think I saw it, like, I almost, like, you know in Twilight when he's like, finally, and they kill him?
Uh-huh.
Or, really, I was thinking about, like, I never saw this movie, but I saw this clip. It was from the Timothée Chalamet movie,
mm-hmm.
And his dad is talking to him, and he's like, you know, you fell in love, and now it hurts, but don't push it away, you know.
I know, yes.
Like, feel it.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you fell in love, and that's, like, proof that, like, you can do that, you know?
Mm. That's, like, teaching me back to the conversation we were having about, like, desiring love.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, that's definitely part of, like, my. One of the things that I have been. Every time I think about love, I always think about that. It's like, how do I, or how it would, like, how would it look when someone loves me through that part?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Journal. I'm in a journal. I want to write so many things down. Same. After this conversation.
I'm definitely going to listen back to this. I'm like, yeah,
that's the one.
That's the one right there.
Yeah.
Because that can also be the thing that, like, makes us run away from the love that we deserve.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's beautiful to, like, not know, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't realize, like, okay, so being, again, I moved to New York in April, and the collective and community that I found here, like, I had so much love for my family and so much love for, like, different people in my life. And I think that we all went through so many different types of, like, you remember we were talking about growing up in the same households and coming out different.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we went through similar pains, and loving each other through that, it's almost like we couldn't be the same people to heal that hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we're trying to for a long time, ultimately, like, kind of hurting each other more.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, in me leaving and finding my community through more chosen family, doesn't mean I don't have that love for my family anymore.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
Or that we don't support each other anymore, but it was a thing I never knew existed until, like, I found it. I'm sure there's more multifaceted ways to
get that
love me, you know?
Because
you were mentioning, like, you're a multifaceted person. Like, yeah. So I didn't realize, like, when I was telling you about that night with my friend and feeling like, no, I'm completely alone in this. Like, nobody understands what this pain is like. And her telling me, like, but I'm here with you, you know? I didn't realize that would ground me so much until I heard her say it, you know? So, yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow, you just said something I was going to oh, my gosh, what was it? The unknown of love.
Yeah.
Like, you never know.
Discuss that. It hurts so good.
I'm definitely going to journal about that. Because I feel like when you think about, at least for me, like, when I think about love, I try to imagine every possible step. I'm like, okay, this is going to happen, so that's going to happen, so that's going to happen. But it's like, how can I even go that far?
Yeah.
I did not know I was trying to control love.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Damn.
It's not so much that you can't, maybe, like, balance it out with, like, being present. That's where I'm at too. Of, like, I used to just be too present and too in the moment, not planning it for the future at all. And then planning too much in the future took away from the now.
Yeah.
It's like finding the balance.
The balance.
Yeah.
Damn. That's you know, I put a star right there. Journal. Right there. God damn.
We really went through all of the dualities of men.
No, for real.
Maybe not all, but a lot of them. Yeah.
A lot of them. You know, I realized in the beginning, I didn't even tell, like, for you to introduce yourself.
Oh,
we just, like, went right into it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, do you want to introduce yourself before we close
yes,
it off?
Yes, of course.
Okay, yes.
Okay. Hello, listener. My name is Maria Victoria. I am an artist, model, sometimes do archival work. And, yeah. I'm very happy to be here and honored to have been invited. Yeah.
I'm so happy. Where can people find you?
Oh, on Instagram at Victoray, VICTORAY. Yeah. And that's me.
And you also definitely follow.
Yes, please.
I actually saw your artwork. I forgot to bring it up, but I definitely saw your artwork. I loved it.
Oh,
I loved it.
Thank you. The abstract work, you know?
The abstract.
Thank you so much.
But yeah.
Thanks a lot.
I have nothing else to say.
Nah, I think we...
I think we got it all.
We went through the meaning of life and everything,
we
you know?
And it's so crazy because, like, I always feel awkward in terms of, like, having conversations because I'm always like, oh, what do I say?
Yeah.
And having a podcast is really funny because I feel like for a lot of the times in friend groups I've been around, I've never, like, allowed myself to take up space to talk.
Yeah.
I've always felt very unseen, not by the fault of people around me, but because I told myself I wasn't really, like, being seen and heard.
Yeah.
So I never used to talk, like,
yeah,
never. So it's really ironic now that I have a podcast and I'm like, y'all should listen to mine.
Listen to Anifa. It's a good place to express that too, because you have something to say.
Exactly.
It's
exactly.
Good to,
exactly.
good to hear you.
Thank you. It's so nice having you on.
Thank you.
And I hope this is like a repetitive thing. I would love to like sit down with you again.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But y'all should definitely follow.
Yeah, thank y'all for listening.
Subscribe.
Yeah, thank you for listening.
Okay, well, peace, y'all. Oh, I just realized they can't even see. That's so funny.